Chancellor's office. A muffled voice said, "Come in." There was no one in the office, but there was another closed door in the far wall. Bucket knocked again and then rattled the door handle. "I'm in the bath," said Salzilla.
"Are you decent?"
"I'm fully clothed, if that's what you mean. Is there a pail of ice out there?"
"Was it you who ordered it?" said Bucket guiltily.
"Yes.
Only I had it taken into my office so I could stick my feet in it."
"Your feet?"
"Yes, I went for a brisk run around the city. Don't know why. Just felt like it.
Well,
my boots, caught fire on the second lap."
There was a sloshing noise and some sotto voce grumbling, and then the door swung open, revealing Salzella in a purple dressing gown.
"Has Signor Basilica been safely tethered?" he said, dripping on the floor.
"He's going through the music with her troublemaker."
"And he's all right?"
"He sent along to the kitchen for a snack."
Salzella shook his head.
"Astonishing."
"And they've put the interpreter in a cupboard. They don't seem to be able to get him unfolded."
Bucket sat down carefully. He was wearing carpet slippers.
"And?"
Salzella prompted.
"And what?
Where did that dreadful woman go?"
"Mrs. Ogg is showing her round." "Well, what else could I do? I mean, $2,000, remember?"
"I am endeavouring to forget," said Salzella. "I promise never to talk about that lunch ever again, if you don't either."
"What lunch?" said Bucket innocently.
"Well done."
"She does seem to have an amazing effect, though, doesn't she?"
"I don't know who you're talking about.
I mean, it's not hard to see how she made her money."
"Good heavens, man, she's got a face like a hatchet.
They say that Queen Azariel of Clatch had a squint, but that didn't stop her having 14 husbands. And that was only the official score. Besides, she's knocking on a bit.
I thought she'd been dead for 200 years.
Oh, I'm talking about Lady Esmeralda.
So am I.
At least try to be civil to her at the soiree before the performance tonight."
"I'll try."
"The 2,000 might only be the start, I hope. Every time I open a drawer, there are more bills. We seem to owe money to everyone."
"Opera is expensive."
"You're telling me. Whenever I try to make a start on the books, something dreadful happens. Do you think I might just have a few hours without something awful happening?"
"In an opera house?"
The voice was muffled by the half-dismantled mechanism of the organ.
"All right, give me a middle C."
A hairy finger pressed a key. It made a thudding noise, and somewhere in the mechanism something else went boing. "Blast, it's come off the peg. Hold on, try again." The note rang out, sweet and clear.
"Okay," said the voice of the man hidden in the exposed entrails of the organ. "Wait until I tighten the peg."
Agnes stepped closer. The hulking figure seated at the organ turned around and gave her a friendly grin, which was much wider than the average grin. Its owner was covered in red hair, and while short-changed in the leg department, had obviously been the first in the queue when the arm counter opened, and had also been given a special free offer of lip.
"André,"
said Agnes weakly. The organist extracted himself from the mechanism. He was holding a complicated wooden bar with springs on it.
"Oh, hello," he said.
Who's this?"
said Agnes, backing away from the primeval organist.
"Oh, this is the librarian. I don't think he has a name. He's the librarian at Unseen University, but much more importantly, he's their organist, and it turns out our organ is a Johnson, just like theirs."
Burkholt Stutley, bloody stupid Johnson, was Ankh-Morpork's most famous, or rather most notorious, inventor. He was renowned for never letting his number blindness, his lack of any skill whatsoever, or his complete failure to grasp the essence of a problem stand in the way of his cheerful progress as the first counter-Renaissance man. Shortly after building the famous collapsed Tower of Querm, he turned his attention to the world of music, particularly large organs and mechanical orchestras. Examples of his handiwork still occasionally come to light in sales, auctions, and quite frequently wreckage.
"He's given us some spare parts."
"Ooh.
Sorry, lent us some spare parts."
"He plays the organ?"
"In an amazingly prehensile way, yes."
Agnes relaxed. The creature didn't seem about to attack.
"Oh," she said. "Well, I suppose it's natural, because sometimes barrel organ men came to our village and they often had a dear little monk
There was a crashing chord. The orangutan raised its other hand and waved a finger politely in front of Agnes's face.
"He doesn't like being called a monkey," said Andre, "and he likes you."
"How can you